Hey, everybody, welcome back to Tom Girl, where we talk all things sports, entertainment, fashion, and adventure. And tonight, we have a fearless female who is proving that fashion and football do belong on the same playing field. She is NFL Network anchor and reporter Taylor Bisciotti. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, everybody, I'm JJ Jurgens. Thanks for joining us here for another week of Tom Girl. And I am so excited for this guest tonight. Taylor, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you are just like what Tom Girl is all about, because you combine the fashion, the sports world, entertainment, like all of it combined into one. So thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah. So let's first start out with talking about what you're doing right now. So you're working for NFL Network as an anchor reporter, and you were also the youngest person to ever be hired by them in that position.
Yeah, no, that's really, it's exciting. Except I feel like the whole media industry has totally changed now, and where that like was once a really big deal, now it's not as big of a deal just because there is so much like digital media out there. So you're able to start younger and you're able to kind of put content out there earlier, and people are consuming it differently. So it is exciting, but I feel like a lot of things are going more towards the digital space, which is an area where it is like kind of an advantage to be a little bit younger, just because we grew up with it a little bit more.
For sure. It is whole a new frontier for everything.
It is. And even with my little cousin, she's 6 years younger than me. And it's so funny. She actually came to the Super Bowl with me, and I was like, come with me on my shoots and stuff and like do all the social media, because like, I don't know how to do half the stuff that she knows how to do. And I feel like I'm always looking over her shoulder, like, can you help me with this? Can you help me with that?
They're so, so good funny. At it, right?
They're so good at it.
Yeah, because you were a broadcast journalism major. And then so my niece, too, she's 21 right now, and she's went for the same thing, but she got more of the digital media. So I ask her the same thing. Like, tell me all about those things we didn't, you know, that weren't
like,
taught in
classes. Like, she'll look over my shoulder, like, oh, my gosh, let me do this. And I'm like, what is she doing?
It's tough to keep up with it all, right?
Yeah. It is.
Yeah. So talk to us about your roles right now with NFL Network.
So on a day-to-day, well, it's actually kind of died down a little bit just because the Super Bowl is obviously like the grand event. Mm-hmm. And so once that's over, you kind of go, as you can tell, I'm a little bit sick. So you get a little bit sick afterwards because you're just kind of going nonstop. So when I was at the Super Bowl, we were going all day, every day, kind of covering everything. And speaking of a digital platform, we are doing it for Instagram. And so NFL Network's never really done something like that on their Instagram before, where you're covering the events and doing the red carpets and doing everything but the game all week long through Instagram story. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of it was shot on a cell phone, which is crazy to think about, especially when I was once like a one-man band at Georgia with a huge camera, and you had to like then transfer it over and then put it into an editing system. And you just don't have to do that anymore because it has iPhones and technology has made it so much easier. Yeah. So now that that's died down, now you kind of just jump back into it. There really is no off season. I don't know if you saw today, but there's Antonio Brown saga. There's always something going on. And then we're going to have the combine and then the draft. So after that, you kind of have a little bit of period of downtime, but there's free agency. There's just so many different things that there you don't really feel like you have an off season. People are like, oh, so you've got nothing to do for a couple months. I'm like, not really.
Still but, stuff going on.
Still stuff going on.
What were some of your favorite moments at the Super Bowl?
Honestly, I like that the players that aren't in the game, obviously opening night's really exciting because it's just the big shebang and the whole start to it all. And it's the players that are in the game, obviously both teams, they're up on stage for the first time together. You can see them interact. And it's the kind of like the last day before they have to get really serious and like practice every day. And they have no media like availability. And so I really liked opening night just because I had also never done that before. And then I love going to the events with the players that aren't in the game, because you get to see them in a more relaxed environment. You get to see them where they're not kind of stressed out and thinking about the game, thinking about practice. You get to see them for, they've got a life outside of just football. You know, they're going to these Madden events where they face off in Madden, and they're going to different things. So one night Gurley and Gronk faced off in Madden. That's kind of like fun to see them be friends. And then 3 days later, they're going to be playing each other in the Super Bowl.
These off the field kind of stories, that's a lot of what you get to cover. Like with your show, in case you missed it, All 32. Those are all videos from those teams that are videos that maybe people didn't see or aspects of those players that they didn't know.
I think that football is a different sport than other sports because you are wearing shoulder pads and a helmet. You tend to look the same besides your number. People don't get to see their faces as often like you do with basketball players and baseball players. So I think that it's a good way for people to relate to them and like humanize these players that do so much off the field. There are so many positive things that these players do. And a lot of times we only focus on the negative things because that's what's making the news. But when you go out on Tuesdays during the week, you know, you see these players that are volunteering to go out into their community and make a difference and make an impact in the community that they're living in. It might not be their hometown, but it's where they're playing now. And you get to see that they do so many positive things for other people. And so I think it gives you a way to not only just see the positive impact that they make on a community, but they also have great personalities. Like, you can see them joking around in the locker room, playing pranks on each other. It gives them a relatability factor and it humanizes them. And I think that it allows people to see them as normal people.
Mm-hmm. So the show that you hosted, in case you missed it, All 32, tell me about getting that show and what that show kind of meant to you and what you learned.
It meant a lot. It was my first like show by myself. And so, of course, I was excited for that, but more so excited to kind of pick out the team. Like, so what we do is we go through and we look at all the different teams' feeds and the videos that they produce, because nobody gets closer to a team than the team itself. So like the content that they put out there, a lot of times it gets overlooked because it isn't an NFL Network, ESPN. It's a smaller fan base. And so what we do is we go through each month and we pick out the best team videos. And then off of that, we'll do different things. Like, we went to the Rams and Chargers new stadium and we did a stadium tour. So you kind of like do field pieces off of that. And then also when you have the players into the studio, we try and get them for interviews and play a little, you know, it depends on what the theme of each block or segment is. But it's been a lot of fun. I love doing it.
Are there any particular videos or stories that you worked on with that stick out to you that you really enjoyed?
There's so many. We've had so many episodes now.
I've watched a lot.
Gosh, there's a lot of videos.
Good stuff.
And there's kind of different ones. You know, like, there's the ones that kind of pull on the heartstrings, and there's the ones that are just funny and you get to see the players' personalities, because a lot of them are hysterical.
I think the little kid questions are some of my favorites.
Oh my
the videos
gosh.
That you show.
Kids reporters, like those Houston, Texas kids reporters. I'm like, those kids are adorable.
They are.
They're going to be the next Ian Rappaport.
Yeah, they're fantastic. So tell me about, you saying that was your first show that you got to fully host.
Yeah.
What was that kind of learning curve for you?
You learn pretty quickly. I mean, after the first episode, you kind of immediately see, and I'll watch the one that we taped Friday, and I'll go back and pick out a million things that I hated that I want to do better on or like fix. Or I think that isn't that life, like every time you go back and watch something, you're like, wow, I could have done that better. But it's what makes it fun. Yeah. It makes it still like a learning experience. I think the toughest part about doing that show for me is that when you're up on stage, we don't get to watch the videos live. So like, you just know what the videos are, obviously, but you're doing the raps. But I wish that we could see at least the last 5 seconds, like where you remember it specifically. Mm. And I almost wish that we could just do my natural reaction, except obviously studio time and stage time, it's easier to just time it out and wrap it that way.
So that way you might be a little more organic into the moment of what you're seeing.
Because like at that point, like when they're like, you know, 3, 2, 1, go, and you're thinking, oh, wait, what video am I coming out of? And then trying to toss to, you know, so you're kind of getting your own head, to figure out, I'm going from here to here. But I'd rather have the natural reaction and laugh, you know what I'm saying?
Like,
authentically. So I try and replay the last 5 seconds in my head as they're counting me down.
Are you involved in the process of selecting the videos as well and the whole show process?
So I go through
process?
And like find like most of them with my producers, and it's kind of like a month long process until the narrow down time.
All right. So prior to that, you were a sideline reporter for ESPN and SEC Network.
So right out of college, I was doing freelancing, and I was freelancing for Bleacher Report, Sporting News, SEC Network. And then I was doing that for about a year and a half until I got my job with NFL Network. So I moved to LA in like a span of 2 weeks and started here.
And did I read correctly? You actually started the job at NFL Network. You landed that day and you started that day?
I kept pushing back my like, because I didn't have everything packed or whatever. So I landed, dropped my bags off to an empty apartment, and then just went straight in. But it was worth it.
What were some of the things you went through emotionally making that move to like, okay, leave Georgia, leave where you're at?
The funniest thing is that, so my parents were actually out of the country when I was moving, and how convenient.
And we'd love to help, but
I was like, oh, let me find a car service place. And of course there was one that was like a little bit cheaper. So I was like, I'm going to do that one. So I land in LA, and it was supposed to be there a couple days earlier, but it worked out since I pushed my flight back. And I'm like, why have I not received a call? Like, this is really weird. So I called the number, and they're like, oh, well, we're just the sourcing company. Did you not get like a confirmation email with the person's number on it? I said, well, yeah, I did, but nobody's answering. They're like, well, let us know in like a week if you still don't hear. So like days are going by. Finally, like my fifth day at NFL Network, I get a call from like a random number saying, hey, like I'm on the highway in Santa Monica, can you come pick up your car? Because they couldn't get through to Santa Monica without getting a ticket because there's a certain height restriction.
Oh, wow.
And so I was like, okay. So I like left work during my lunch break, like was running over to Santa Monica. So yes, the fun aspects of moving across the country.
Yeah. I feel like everybody has to have a good welcome to LA story, kind of like that, right?
I'm like, oh my gosh, what if my car's going? Is this going to be bad? Just to try and save $300, was it worth it?
Yeah.
But all was good.
Mm-hmm. And emotionally, like making that brave decision to leave what you know, come out here on your own and start this.
Honestly, like, I just felt like I was so thankful and grateful to mm-hmm. have gotten the opportunity. So it wasn't even like, oh gosh, am I going to make the plunge? It was like, oh God, I can't wait.
Great. It's great. Yeah. Talk about the difference of kind of how you went through hustling. Cause I know being a sideline reporter, you were saying you're working freelance and that's not an easy gig.
No, to like know like when the you're first year and get a half, next, you know, yeah. You're like, gosh, did I make the right decision going into this? Like I knew that I could go the local news route, but I just feel like local news it's sometimes tough, especially in like the smaller market to do local news because that segment, it's usually like the C block, and that's dying, like the amount of time that you're given. So how mm-hmm. much time are you really going to be getting to tell a story in a minute and a half sports segment block, and then your piece is going to be what?
Yeah.
20 seconds, 30 seconds? Yeah. So I just felt like there are so many different, because of the way that digital media has grown and because of the different smaller networks that have been popping up, whether it be digital, whether it be network, I just figured that there was a way that I could try and start doing it that way where I would mm-hmm. be getting as many reps in. And the way that the like media landscape has changed, it kind of allowed for me to try going about it that way. And so I felt really like I was very thankful that the consistent full-time NFL Network job came in. Mm-hmm.
And I know you talk about doing the one-man band show where you
I was such a bad editor, okay?
Yeah, talk to us about
it
those
stressed
days.
Me out. I mean, first of all, like when you're shooting, we'd have to like, you know, shoot when I was living in Northeast Georgia, which I was working in a local news market then. You were shooting, editing, reporting. And even when you anchored, you'd still have to go out during the day and do like a quick piece. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't necessarily, I didn't have a hard time doing the stories. I almost enjoyed doing the breaking news stories or like covering a fire or something like that because I knew, oh my gosh, that way I don't have to edit. I'll just keep going back to me. I'd rather go live and just talk about it rather than having to go back to your computer and edit. I had my computer like crash 2 times. Clearly I was pressing the wrong key. But I was not a very good editor. Mm-hmm. There was probably like,
But having that background, how grateful does that make
it.
You?
Oh my gosh, you appreciate it so much. Having like the people that really make a difference, the ones that make everything look good mm-hmm. and smooth. So
I always think that's important for people to like at Nebraska we had to do that. We had to over under the cable on the football field. And that to me was my most stressful job I've ever had to do because I mean I'd go shoot all you wanted, but like having the teams running, you know, and people getting like having to do that fast, I'm the worst over and under cable person ever. But I'm so thankful that we had to do those things because I think you really then appreciate your crew that works with you, what people behind the camera are doing, all the work and all the support that it takes to make a show go on the air. Yeah, great. All right, so I want to talk about your college days and kind of getting to this because you were on a whole different path.
I was an accounting major. Mm-hmm. I was in my last year of accounting and I was about to start my master's of accounting. I think it was April, my senior year. And I'm thinking, oof, I don't know if I can do this forever. I know that it was like definitely the safer route in terms of, you know, that you could pretty much move anywhere and have a job. Mm-hmm. There's accountants everywhere. But it just was something I really wasn't even passionate about. Just to show you how unpassionate about it I was, I still don't do my taxes. So there's an issue right there.
Yeah. I think you made the right career choice.
So I switched and I went and I interned at the CBS affiliate in D.C., WSA9 that summer. And then I went back to school for digital and broadcast journalism, but I did it in a year. And while I was there, I was working for ESPNU, mm-hmm. which was a program that they had. I don't think they have it anymore, but it was where they would send you literally and you could be a one-man band working for them. And so I could cover games and whatnot. And then if they liked it, they would put it on their, on their platform. And so I loved doing that. And that is how I originally started working for SEC Network was because of like the connections that I made from doing ESPNU.
Mm-hmm. So now what would you say to kids? Because I mean, that could be a daunting decision when you're almost done with school and then you're deciding, oh crap, I don't think I like this. And I feel like that happens
I felt so behind. I was like, gosh, if I go into this, am I going to be behind? I feel like I'm always going to be a step behind, like always trying to catch up. But no, I think that 1 year, I mean, even if it's 2 years, I think that it really doesn't make a difference when when you go back into something.
Yeah. Well, then good for you for listening to your gut. Yeah.
You're never too old to start.
Well, and I think, you know, over college, because you're pushed to make a decision right away. You walk in your freshman year, mm-hmm. you know, and so it's hard. I've had people ask, it's hard to know what you want to do with your whole life as a freshman. So it's good for you to know.
And when I did enter as a freshman, I did declare as a double major, but at Georgia, they make it really difficult between balancing. There's Terry School of Business and Grady School of Journalism, and they just make it almost impossible to kind of balance both mm-hmm. classes. So when I was my second semester of sophomore year, it was pretty much I need to declare one or the other. Mm-hmm. And so I declared business, which I'm so thankful that I do have that background, though. I love the fact that I kind of do see things from more of a business perspective and an accounting perspective, just because at the end of the day, that is what fuels what goes into what.
Right. And I'm sure that helps you making decisions and steps for your career.
Yeah.
And, having that mentality back mm-hmm. there. Yeah. All right. Let's talk about one thing I love that is your whole mentality of bringing the fashionista in you into your style now. So I know we have.
I don't even know if I would call it a fashionista. I feel you always want to. I think you're going to perform your best when you're wearing something that you're most comfortable in mm-hmm. or that represents your personality. I think that obviously, as a female, that if you're wearing something that you just don't feel right in, or you don't feel like it's a good representation of who you are, you're just mm-hmm. never, you're not going to feel as comfortable. You're not going to perform as well. You're not going to feel as confident. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to always represent yourself.
Yeah. How does that also help you stand out in kind of a male dominated field?
Well, it's kind of for men. I mean, this is kind of stereotyping myself from men, but I feel like they have it a lot easier because they can just switch up their outfit with a tie. But females kind of have to switch up the entire thing. Maybe we make it harder on ourselves. I'm sure we do.
Well, I do like that a lot of the guys these days are also, they're getting really flamboyant with their suits. They're stepping
it up a bit
too. I love
some of them. It's exciting to go into the wardrobe room and you can see them steaming out. James Jones on our network always has some really flamboyant Michael Irvin. He's got some great suits.
Yep. I like it.
They sometimes look like my Thanksgiving dining room cloth table, but that's okay. Yeah. But it looks great on him, and he pulls it off great.
I love it when they can pull it off. It's awesome. Who are some of your what styles do you like to wear? What do you feel most comfortable in?
I mean, on an everyday, I'm always in jeans. I always, mm-hmm. I'm just more comfortable in pants rather than a dress, an anchor dress. That mm-hmm. look always is just, I feel like, why would you try and intentionally blend in? Whereas I feel like back in the day, you kind of always felt like you had to wear a anchor dress. Mm-hmm. But I feel like there's less and less of that now, which I love. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'd rather be comfortable.
Yeah. Any designers or any, what are your must-have go-tos? Mm-hmm.
I love Alice and Olivia. I love Zara. I feel like Zara is a way that you can kind of switch it up a lot just because it is a little bit less expensive. Mm-hmm. Rent the Runway has been amazing because you can literally get on this unlimited program where you're sending four outfits back and you get four outfits at a time. Mm. And you feel like you're constantly up to date and you've got tons of options, and that way you're not buying it. Because especially when you're on camera, you feel like you can't wear the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah, you got to keep switching it up.
Yeah, so that's kind of found, that's a way that girls can do it on a really affordable scale. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And still feel like you're switching it up a lot.
Yeah. I read that when you were growing up, that you actually started using some of your fashion skills for your classmates.
Yeah. So I think I was probably in seventh grade, and I was a premature baby, and so I couldn't fit into a lot of it took me forever to be able to fit into my first pair of designer jeans. When everybody was getting them for ninth grader and thought they were so cool because they had those True Legend or Seven for All Mankind logos on the back. But another example was skirts. And so I ended up going to a fabric store with my mom, and we just picked out six different fabrics, and I made them for myself. And so every time that I would go out, my friends would be like, oh, where'd you get that? So I ended up starting to make them for them too. And within 2 years, I felt like I was making them for half the school.
And then did you start charging them?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Of course. So, yeah. But I didn't do it for that long. Because it was a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you also say you grew up, you call yourself a tomboy. Why would you call yourself a tomboy?
I grew up with a brother and then all boy cousins on my dad's side of the family. So there's five of us, and I'm the youngest, and they're the only way that I could really like relate to them when I was super young was through sports. And I feel like that's why I became such a diehard sports fan. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like the universal language of our family where no matter what was going on, you know, that you had like college football on Saturdays, NFL football on Sundays. And so mm-hmm. I learned to love it pretty quickly just because I saw that they were so passionate about it. Mm-hmm. So then I wanted to take an interest in it. And then it didn't take long before I just naturally loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you guys all play together? Did you ever play football out in the yard or?
Oh, yeah. Like out in the yard. I mean, yeah. I didn't play football, but yeah.
Well, did you do any sports growing up?
Yeah. I played soccer and I played tennis and then I did cheerleading.
Mm-hmm. Now, your uncle is also the owner of the Baltimore Ravens. And talk about that, because I know you were afraid maybe at the beginning that people would give you the stereotype that, oh, you just got this job because of him or because of who you know. Talk about how that kind of went through that process.
I think that always goes through your head, no matter like what career you're in. You know, like if your dad's a coach and then you become a coach, and you always think, well, people are going to assume this. But then I think that connections can always open a door, but it's mm-hmm. just how hard you work and your work ethic and what you do on a day in and day out basis, that's why you would stay somewhere. Mm-hmm. So I think that once you kind of accept that and feel like confident in your own skin and become more confident just like in your own skill and who you are, I think mm-hmm. that just becomes less. It doesn't even cross my mind really anymore.
Right. You just know you deserve to be there.
Yeah.
What are some of your, how do you stay current? How do you research? What's your schedule like?
I feel like you're just constantly, it's something that I would be following nonstop, even if I wasn't working in this mm-hmm. field. You know, I've been following it my whole life. And so it's automatically a passion. It's kind of like second nature to want to read up on things and want to know what's going on. And so honestly, not that much changed in terms of, you know, now I'm way more involved where I, you know a lot more and you're constantly reading up on things. Mm-hmm. But it was something that I'd always followed. And so it was something that I'd always taken a really deep, deep interest in.
Mm-hmm. What are some things that you've learned now since going, being your one man band to now where you're at now? Like, oh, like I wish I would have known this or ways
I wish
you think
that,
you're
I mean, I still think this is my thing that I wish that I wouldn't let like mistakes. Like if you mess up on air, like I let it like really get to me. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'll just go to bed at night, like going over and over and over and over and over about it in your head. But you really like, that's so detrimental. And like, there's mm-hmm. nothing that's going to positively come from that. Rather than start thinking of it as like, wow, I'm so glad this happened to me because now I'm not going to make that same mistake again. And mm-hmm. this was an opportunity, like viewed as an opportunity. Like this is a great opportunity that I won't make this mistake again. I won't do this. And I know this for moving forward or the next mm-hmm. time.
Well, and I think half of those things too are all things that you severely notice, but like the audience doesn't care as much
gosh.
As you.
It's bigger,
you
know? It's bigger than life itself to you when, like, honestly, nobody else really, like, cares that much. And if they did notice it, they'd be like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah, and it's kind of nice when people, like, make a flub. I think you do relate to them because you're like, oh, yeah, you know, they flubbed up something too. Or they, you know, I think people will know. It's hard to be out there and be in front of the camera and be juggling different stats and thoughts and actions and, you know, all that at once.
Yeah, so. I will say that I think that it is – that's one area where I found it differently or different for a female and a male, that I think that if a female to make a quick, they're talking and they make a mistake on a name really quickly. I think that that is a little bit more harshly judged on the female. Whereas if like a male were to make that mistake, I don't think that think that people would be able to laugh it off a lot mm-hmm. quicker or just kind of be like, oh, well, they made a mm-hmm, mistake. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that females are something that's easier for people to attack or people to just immediately assume.
Yeah.
The worst. Like,
mm-hmm, yeah. Make start, yeah.
Rather than like your mouth was just like really dry.
Yeah. A lot of things happen. Yeah. What would you like to see since the NFL audience is 50% or more women?
Yeah. I think that's still a fact that people are like, there's no way. But yeah, it is.
Yeah. So do you feel like the broadcasts today legitimately reach out to that audience, or are there things that you would change to maybe even engage that audience more?
I mean, I think that when you have, I think that different perspectives is always a good thing. You know, I think that there's one show on our network called Up to the Minute, and they do a great job of having a lot of voices on there. But I still always think that, as with any show, any network, there can be more voices. I don't think that there's ever going to be a negative aspect to having more opinions because mm-hmm. there's more different points of view and perspectives. Isn't that like what life is all about? Mm-hmm. You know, you want different, 8 heads is better than one, you know, like you mm-hmm. want different viewpoints and different perspectives and different. When you're talking to people, you're like, wow, you know, I never really thought about it that way, where everybody can add something. Mm-hmm. And I think that, of course, I feel like there's can always be a little bit more of a female presence on things.
Mm-hmm. Do you think in the future there's going to be?
I hope so.
Yeah,
I hope so.
And what are like, what are any like just changes as far as, I mean, it's pretty, there's pretty much of a structure and, you know, pattern and everything that we're seeing. Is there anything that you would like to, like, if you had a segment that you would want to throw in on NFL Sunday that would be like different or maybe shake things up a little bit? Any ideas of what something like that might look like for you?
Gosh, there's so many different things. But I think that the one positive thing of having this digital space is that you are able to try new things and you can kind of test things out on the digital platform and then try and integrate it into the network. But right now I'm thinking like, well, what is the network, you know, because a lot of you're getting a lot of viewers through the digital platforms, mm-hmm. and it's mm-hmm. something that lives a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I think that I always think that going and telling the stories of the players is the, like what's the most important thing mm-hmm. to do is
the more inside and mm-hmm. more showing the real stories.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I love discussion based stuff. So I think that when you talk things out with different people who have different perspectives, who can bring a different thought to the table is always something that I know that I enjoy tuning in to watch.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Who are some of the males or female sports broadcasters that maybe you've looked up to growing through your career and process?
There's so many. Sage Steele, Hannah Storm, mm-hmm. definitely for females. There's tons. I mean, list goes on.
Yeah.
And I feel lucky to like work with so many of them at NFL Network too. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm like surrounded by a great group of people that most of them are very uplifting, mm-hmm. like positive energy to be around.
What would you say, like, what do you find most challenging about your job?
I think always just like wanting to find ways to get better and tell the story a different way. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, at the end of the day, you're, like, for example, today we did the Antonio Brown story for pretty much every single one of my updates. Like after the fourth one, I'm like, gosh, how can I say this a different way to make it a little bit more interesting or provide somebody with a little bit more substance to the story?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what is it that you love most about it?
I love everything about it.
What do you love about the sport of football?
I think that it brings, first of all, right now there's the new AAF going on, and that's like the American Football Alliance, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. that's kind of bringing, especially now, like there's going to be no off season because we're now able to watch people play, and I think that it's getting the most momentum for league outside of the NFL. And mm-hmm. it is being aired on NFL Network, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of giving the players that didn't quite make it, but can still play and will possibly make it to an NFL roster, mm-hmm. the chance to kind of like showcase their skills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always fun to see those.
Yeah.
There can never be enough.
There's
enough
always a
football,
great underdog,
right?
Like, story. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. What would you say, like, moments in your career so far where have been like some just big, strong accomplishments for you, or moments where you're like, like just excited.
It was really exciting to go back home to Atlanta and cover the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. That was probably the highlight of my time so far at NFL Network. Because I remember when I started 3 years ago, I was thinking, gosh, I can't believe that the Super Bowl is going to be in Atlanta, like my hometown.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of like felt like it was going to be so far away, and it went pretty fast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what would you say are some of the like traits and characteristics that have gotten you where you are today?
I think a hard work ethic. I mean, I know I work really hard. I'm a little over critical of myself, but there's positives and negatives to that.
Mm-hmm. And how did you go about like landing the NFL Network job? Did you send tape? Like, how did you pursue this?
That's like, this is probably the longest that I've gone without ever having like an updated reel, just because I've been here and I had I was under contract, but I actually came out to LA a couple months before and I interviewed with a bunch of different networks, and I actually did not interview with NFL Network. I mean, I wanted to, but I had other interviews going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a spot that opened up on the news update desk, and they called me and they're like, you know, we kind of did like a phone interview, and then I came in did an on-camera interview. So it happened pretty quick, fast. Quack. See, there you go. There's a mess of a word. Quick and fast.
Did you have a good feeling after you left the interview? Like, did it went well?
And, yeah.
Where would you like to, are there other goals or what would you like to, where
I
would
you like always to have, girl? You always have a goal, right? You know, you've always have like aspirations, but I think that for me especially is more of trying to like live in the now and like be kind of like grateful for where you are in your career and enjoy the journey rather than always trying to like constantly be getting to that next step. I think it's important to embrace where you are. Like, I have my dream job, so it's important to like try and be present and be where you are and try and get better with what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's trying to keep it and like, you know, trying to constantly and consistently get better.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. We do have a shot. I think a photo here, photo 12 of you doing some adventuring. I wanted to ask, we can do those. I wanted to talk to you about some of your favorite like travel spots.
Yes,
or
I love
adventure
traveling.
Things. Yeah.
I love traveling. I would take a year off. I think about that and just go travel the world and experience different cultures. It's exciting. Different foods, cultures. It helps put everything into perspective because you realize this isn't the only thing. This isn't the end all be all. This isn't, you know, our day-to-day problems seem so big and like,
yeah, it quickly
they're the
makes
biggest
you...
thing in the entire world. But then you take a week off and you're like traveling the world and you see much things that are much bigger than yourself and like what you're going through. And it puts everything into perspective.
Yeah. Quickly so makes important. You get rid of those flubs, not care
Seriously.
About those flubs, right? Like, yeah.
You see the things that are a lot more important going on around you.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite spot that you've been to so far, travel-wise?
Okay, so this is funny. I am an Italian, and obviously biscotti, like biscotti the cookie. And I've never been to Italy, so I'm dying to go to Italy. That's like next up on my bucket list.
I know. She has the cookie icon on her Instagram and Twitter.
I let myself use that as my excuse as to why I'm such a dessert freak.
Yeah.
I could eat them for every meal.
When it's in the name, how can you not?
I know, right?
Yeah.
Look what you did to me, mom and dad.
Yeah, it's their fault. We have a couple. I don't know if they were all to put them up while we were talking, but I want to talk about some of the fashion photos that we had real quick, just because you are such a fashion person. So here we have some red carpet pics. What do you look for when you know you're going to be on the red carpet or on an event? What kind of dresses or fashion are you drawn to?
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan, so I love sequins. Honestly, it changes every time. There's never really something that I'm looking for. It's specifically, it's kind of, I usually like color. There I'm wearing black, so I'm contradicting myself. But I usually like a lot of color and just something that I feel comfortable in. I mean, especially heel-wise. I'm terrible at walking in heels.
Well, see, I like does that too.
I usually always wear slippers to work. I got slippers under my desk, so I'll put heels on just for a quick second.
Yeah.
And NFL honors this year, I actually took my heels off and just sat there barefoot for like 2.5 hours, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's over. I'm like trying to put my heels on really quickly. I'm terrible at walking in them.
What are some events? Are there other events that you'd like to cover?
I love bucket list shows. I love award shows because you're getting such a different group of people that are coming through, whether it be Grammys, Oscars. You're talking to people that have obviously overcome so much to get to where they are. So I think that's really fun.
And outside of all this, you also have a lot of work that you do for other organizations like the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. Can you talk about some of your other interests?
Yeah. It's just something that I kind of always grew up with. My mom is really... She does a lot, and so it's something that my brother and I have always been around. I have not found an organization like I have, like Children's Healthcare of Atlanta or Boys and Girls Club of Athens. I've done the Boys and Girls Club here in LA, but I haven't found like one that I constantly go to like I have at home. So it's definitely something I'm still looking for. And then I love puppies. I have a dog, Henry. He's my baby. And so I try and go to different, like either whether it be a fundraiser where you go walk the dogs or play with the dogs, I always try and do that too.
What kind of dog is Henry?
He's a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel. Yeah. If I had my phone in here, I'd just be pulling up a million pictures. But
I should have grabbed him up there.
People tell me that we look alike. No big deal.
I always think people look like dogs. Do you think that?
I say that. I say it to my friends all the time. Yeah. They're like, oh my God, no you don't. Yes, we do. If you ever want to just meet me and say the perfect thing, tell me I look like my dog, and I swear to God, we will be eating dinner together for the next week.
You heard it out there, guys. Way to her heart.
It's a
awesome. I really do. I love when I see people down the street and then with their dog. I'm like, it always cracks me up that they match, you know?
Yes. I could take it. And I love California because they're accepted like everywhere.
Yeah,
I mean,
right?
It's no big deal if you take them to... Granted, I don't think he should be like sitting at the table, but I mean, if he's like, if it's an outdoor restaurant or cafe and they can just be hanging out there, he's so well behaved.
That's what's something that totally sold me on California too. I was like, yeah, we couldn't do that in Nebraska. It's so nice that they can so just nice. Like come in anywhere.
I know, but what's been up with the rain here?
I know. It's crazy. I've never.
I know. And I hate like for people that aren't in California. I know we're complaining about just like 2 weeks, but still, it's very odd here because people don't know how to drive in the rain.
No, they don't.
So we do have an excuse to overreact when it is raining because people will literally. It's like, they're like, oh my gosh, you're going to go outside in the rain.
Yeah.
It's like we're going
to
melt.
And it keeps going. Like, we're not used to this much of it. Like, usually it's like, you know, we have a weekend here and there, and then we're back to our hikes and our stuff.
The fires, like, especially when the mudslides were happening. So
of course, because we didn't get the rain when we needed it, and then it comes in. It was very, very sad. Yeah. All right. Well, but I know we're just about out of time, but before we wrap up, I want to just kind of talk about advice you might have. For I know you're big on also female empowerment and encouragement of women and girls. Like, what do you have advice for girls or boys growing up that may want to pursue sports broadcasting as a career as well?
Yeah, I think you should definitely go for it. I think that there are so many different ways that you can get reps in and put yourself out there through digital. And you miss all the shots you don't take, so you might as well try.
Mm-hmm. What are some ways, since because of digital, it is easier for people to like put their own reels, gather their own content? What are some like any steps or things that they could do to get themselves ahead of maybe other people?
I actually noticed, I had never even thought about this myself, but I noticed that one person had created like an awesome reel and he put his on Twitter, and people around like the like sports broadcasting world started like picking it up and retweeting it. And I think within 2 days he had like 6 job offers from markets that were once considered like, oh, that's way too big to go straight from college. But I think just people just saw his quick talent and he put it out on Twitter and people just started picking it up, which is really cool.
What are things that you did?
I did it the old-fashioned way where you just literally make a reel and send it pretty much out everywhere. It was like a blast.
And then I guess that's any other pieces of advice we're missing from?
I don't know. I'm still learning myself.
Yeah. Well, you're just fabulous. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Tell everybody where they can follow you on social media.
I am at Taylor Bisciotti on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
And then also your shows?
Shows are on NFL Network. And I don't know if they still go to YouTube after, but if they do, it'd be on the NFL Network YouTube account.
So is it, in case you missed it, all 32, that one's still airing, and then you still do the up-to-the-minute reports?
Yeah.
So both of those, they can watch you.
On NFL Network.
So you can see your daily, guys. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us here again.
I appreciate it.
And we'll see you here again next Tuesday.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.